Now, scripture reading time. Scripture today, it's found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15. Again, is found in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15. There we go. This is the word of God. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the written code with His regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, may we find strength in you in our everyday lives so that we can stand strong in our faith and tell others about you with boldness and pride. Right now, as a congregation, we would like to continue in praying for the English pastoral search process. May God you guide the right person to fill the position and give wisdom to the pastoral search team and deacon board to find the right person according to your wish for our church. Teach us the lesson of patience as we wait for a new pastor in herding us, the EM congregation, to become more like you, Lord. Bless our worship ministry and the team leaders and members that they will learn to cooperate well and use your gifts and talents to them in helping the congregation to come closer to you. We also have a church-wide picnic happening on July 30th. May God you inspire people to help out with preparation work, as there are far too many details involved in planning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a church we can call home to, a church that we may enjoy the company of each other as we come together. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we are very happy to have Pastor Benjamin Pintoia here to share God's word with us today. His topic is Robust Christians.
Good morning. I know we have been praying, worship team, that was good. Allow me to lead you in prayer one more time, if you don't mind. Our Father in heaven, there's nothing we can do to each other's mindset and heart. Your powerful hand is the only one capable of changing that. This morning, may your words do that in our mind, in our hearts. I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people and simply express the things that you have already revealed to us and will be reminded again this morning. Empower us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, with us. In Jesus' most powerful name I pray. Amen and amen. Robust Christianity. I'll probably explain it to you as we go on of what I meant by robust. It's not a word that was invented. It's been there for a very long time. However, it's a collection of words specifically from verse 7. But before we go there, you see, I grew up in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, we're very much well known as the Christian or the very religious country. You see, being religious does not mean Christians, does not mean walking with God. And I remember growing up, every time it's Good Friday, and at the eve before the Saturday, where apparently God is always dead. Dead. That's the belief. And I remember my friends and I, knowing that Jesus is alive and well, we will play. And mind you, younger generation, the play that we do during my time is not PS4. We don't even know what that is. It consists of stone, cans, and all those noisy stuff. Those of you who grew up with me, come on, nod your head. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm saying. But that's how old I am. But whenever we make noises, there will be people who will flock at their homes, building up tents, and they will actually pray fervently, religiously, and they will pray, and as soon as they hear us making noise, their religiosity and their fervent prayer would suddenly turn evil. I mean, like a switch, like you turn it on and off. They will go like this, prayerfully and fervently praying, and then we will be running around and they will say, I can't even repeat what they said. And there's this switch that I thought, wow, growing up, they could probably go, how come they could really go very holy at 10:31 and 15 seconds and 10:31 and 16 seconds so evil? It's like a switch. It's like a switch that was turned on, and it confuses me as a young man during that time. And you see, that's what I would like us to get into. You see, there's a difference. Let's see if it works. There you go. There's a difference of of religious life and the received life. Our passage, and allow me to read it to you from the English Standard Version. It says, therefore, as you receive, something you receive, Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. There's those words that we got the word robust. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As I've said earlier, religiosity does not necessarily translate walking with God. I need to make that as a point this morning. Do you remember the parable of the two sons? The youngest, who asked his dad, Dad, I want everything that belongs to me, was given to him. Make the long story short, wasted it. But this morning, I'd like to get your attention to the second son, the eldest son, who was always with the father, jealous of what was going on when his younger brother came back. He was actually jealous that there is a celebration for the one who came back, who squandered all everything that he owns, and then came back to ask for forgiveness. But do you remember what the father said? The father actually said, Son, in all those times that your brother were away, you were with me. Everything I have is yours. You see, that could be the difference with you could actually be knowing God, but never, ever receiving God. You could be so religious, but you could actually be so far from God. And so this morning, according to the passage, I'd like you to receive. Here's what I meant with robust. It's not there. What happened? But robust. You see those words, rooted, built up, established? There's the robust. R-O-B-U and then the S-T. That's where we got our title this morning. When I say robust, it simply means being rooted, built up, and established. What's robust? If you would like to define what robust is, it simply means strong and healthy. You want to be a strong and healthy Christian? You may want to read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. Robust simply means strong and healthy. And then it says rooted. What is it to be rooted? I haven't been in China or Hong Kong or Taiwan. I only read this. You have a bamboo tree that can grow to 80 to 90 feet, according to Google. But Google, suddenly, I was reading it, and it tells me, and it informed me, but the first 4 years of the Chinese bamboo tree, it actually looked dead. It needs nourishment. It needs protection from typhoons and all that. Because the first 4 years, this bamboo will die if it's not nurtured, if it's not taken good care of, if it's not fertilized, if it's not farmed properly. 4 years. And then the fifth year comes when this Chinese bamboo tree will suddenly grow at least 80 to 90 feet. I'm not good either in math, but you convert that, that's about eight stories of building. That's high. That's how it grow in 1 year. When the Bible speaks of rooted, it means, are you rooted? It takes a picture of us learning more about God. And when we are properly rooted, actually this Chinese bamboo tree will go its root from 3 to 5 blocks away from where it's at. That's how rooted it is. And that's why whatever comes, Jackie Chan will say, it's Chinese bamboo tree. It will not break. But this is a picture for you and me. When Apostle Paul was talking about rooted in him, we may want to put in mind the teaching that says, if I'm standing as a Christian, what's really holding me to stand up high? What's holding you? Rooted. The parable of the sower, the teaching of Jesus Christ. Do you remember? The sower and the seed. Some of the seed drops at the path. Some dropped at the rocky ground. They sprung fast. They dried fast. Some growing up by the thorns and it chokes them. But some seeds grew up in good soil. This is what Apostle Paul means when he's writing to the book of Colossae, to the church in Colossae, and when he says, rooted in him. rooted in Him. And then He added up the word built. Built. I don't want to go highly theological about this, but I'll say this so that all of us can understand. When you are built, when you are planted, apple seeds will grow apple trees. Apples will be its fruit. Now that sounds like, yeah, of course. But you see, in the community, in the city, in this country that we live, people could actually change the pattern of how we believe, how we have been instructed by the Bible, and things could suddenly change. And if you're not built well in Him, in Jesus Christ, James will say you could easily sway to the left and to the right. Jesus' teachings continued on in saying, I am the vine, you are the branch. Galatians built this up in saying, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Built. So when you're rooted, something is showing up. Something is growing up. This is the kind of robust Christianity and that Colossians chapter 2 is talking about. When you are rooted, something is being built up. Something is being built up. That's the kind of Christianity we need to have. And then it says established. Established. Established in growing in the fear and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a scary passage that says, you may want to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. I did not invent that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 said that. You may want to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith that Jesus Christ is in you. This is what robust Christianity is. It's not being religious. It's being received. These are the things that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who planted who you are as a Christian. You have been rooted in Him. You have been built up in Him. You have been established. You know why I keep repeating it? Because we're living in a time the testing, troubles, challenges, and confusion will challenge what you believe. For those of you who are about to go to college, when you take philosophy, when you take psychology, have you placed yourself rooted, built up, and established in your faith? Because you could easily be swayed to the left and to the right. You could be easily confused when you do not know, and let me do it, when you do not know how you are established. Did I just break something? I was just trying to wake you up. My friends, robust Christianity is not something that theologians invented. Robust Christianity should be me and you. There's a lot of things going on. With what's going on to Fort Mac, with what's going on in Asia, with the war happening everywhere, with the election that's happening in the U.S., is it bothering you? The Republican Party, for those of you? It's scary. It's scary of what's happening around. And I'm not going to be biased of what's happening. All I can tell you this morning, robust Christianity will tell you God is still in control. You believe that? Because if you believe that, you will hold on. You will be rooted. Something is being built. And the fruits will show. This is you and me. This is what Colossians is trying to say. Now, you see, when Colossians chapter 2 was being written, Apostle Paul was having a hard time talking to these people in the church in Colossae. And I think there's a touch of all of us of what's happening in the church in Colossae. You see, in the church of Colossae, they have a problem called, I will give you a big word, you probably heard it before, Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism simply means that things that you can touch, things that you can feel, things that you can see, they're all bad. The only good things are the things that are in the spiritual world. You see, that teaching was so prevalent in the church of Colossae, that Apostle Paul would come up with this kind of passage. And I always thought, wow, there's a truth. There's a truth in that. There's a lot of philosophers who will tell you that everything, every matter that we can touch, that we can feel, that we can see, they're all bad. The only good thing is the things that are spiritual. Which brings me to my second point. I'm running out of battery, and I hope it will finish. The difference of intense life and the intimate life. See to it, verse 8, that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, not according to Christ. Verse 9 is something that you may want to underline because it says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. When I say intense life, this is the one who will be saying this, that the great and strong in ways that can be felt. Here's what I meant. Anyone here who is a hockey fan? Come on. Am I the only one? Hockey? Basketball? Soccer? What sports? Nothing? It's okay. I like that. If you love your Bibles well, and I like that. But here's what I'm trying to say. Don't you get sometimes to this feeling that you're actually there? When the superstar of the opponent team keeps on making a point, you go, rrr. That's the intense life. But here's the difference. You're not there. You're just watching. But did you know you could be so intense that you think you're there and you hate people who doesn't agree with you? Are you with me? Politics can bring this badness to us. When you don't vote for who I want, I hate you. You will hear that and you go, and people are so intense. There's a difference with intense life and intimate life. Intimate life. Intense is you could be so into it, but you are careless of what's going on. Here's what I'm trying to say. Did you know you could be so intense with your relationship with God without being intimate? You're so busy wanting to accomplish everything that the pastor and the church wants to do, you forgot that the first thing is love God. It's Mother's Day. Don't wait till Mother's Day till you give flowers. My mom's 95. She cannot smell anymore, perhaps. But we have no regrets because we made her see flowers and we loved her. And so anytime she is called home, we will just cry because we will miss her. But we did not wait for Mother's Day. And we're not going to wait to buy a lot of flowers for her funeral. We will buy it now. Intimate. Somehow, in the church of Colossae, they are missing something that Apostle Paul needs to remind them all over again, because we could be firm, we could be fixed with our belief, Because this, everything we see, it meant nothing. Meant nothing. But that goes against the teaching of the whole deity of Jesus Christ. Because if you think of Jesus Christ, he came to earth and it resulted from a close personal relationship, isn't it? God loves you. God died for you. God wants you. God cares for you. Those are all intimate. And here's how God did it. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did you know that Jesus keep repeating himself that he is going to die, but the disciples actually did not get it? You read it. They actually miss the most important, the core teaching of Jesus Christ. Somehow they don't like death. But Jesus, because he knew that the intimacy is very important, even though they kept missing the message, here's what he did. He died. Please get this. He died. But he resurrected not just his spirit, but his whole body. Did you get me? You can see that from the teaching of the Bible. When Jesus Christ came back to earth, he did not just say, "Watch my spirit come back." He actually ate breakfast with them. He actually served breakfast, not just ate. I hope you did that to your mothers this morning. Jesus did it. Served. Ate with them. He actually made Thomas, you remember the story? Thomas was saying, "I will not believe until I touch and see it. Thomas, hold me." And Thomas held him and said, "Jesus, my Lord." And Jesus said something very important. "Thomas, you believe because you have seen and you have touched me. But here it is. Blessed are those who believes yet did not see." Who's that? You and me. That's the intimacy that God gave us. Apostle Paul wrote it down in verse 9 when he said, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Wow! God in the person of Jesus Christ resurrected. God knew the importance of touch, of intimacy, of connection, and of love. So here it is. If you feel that you're alone, always remember God intimately loves you. When you become a robust Christian, this is not something that happens magically. When you know you're rooted, when you know you're standing, when you know the fruit is not coming as fast as you would like, know that the one who planted you is the one who will take good care and make sure that you grows up. He who started the work in you will finish it, will complete it, until Jesus Christ returns. You believe that? I believe that. We should believe that. And so, that's the difference of intense life and intimate life. And so, it goes against the teaching that the church in Colossae is having. And then there's this second teaching. Apostle Paul turned his attention because there were some Jewish rulers who makes regulations. I would like you to know that if you look at the Old Testament, there is 613 laws. So if we're living in the Old Testament, and I am one of your priests, I'm going to ask, how did you do this week with 613 laws? For those of you who did not do it, come, bring your lambs. Bring your pigeons if you cannot afford the lambs. And bring 10% of your grain if you cannot afford the pigeons. And then we will kill. We will spread a lot of blood here.
That's what's happening there. And in the church in Colossae, they were having a problem with, do we continue focusing on the law? Which brings me to my third point. I just noticed I have a screen there. Thank you. The difference of religion. Did I just return to one? There you go. The difference of empty life and the exchange life. If you're having a hard time with that word, circumcise, this is probably the passage that completes it without really explaining it. Read it carefully with me, if you can see it from there. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. This is circumcision done by God and not man. If you have a pen with you, you may want to write down two more verses because it explained it further. Romans 2:29 called it circumcision of the heart, as well as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. If I would like to explain it to you as a teacher, here's what Apostle Paul is saying in a summary. Here we go. The 613 rules we cannot follow. We all fail. Jesus Christ came to earth to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. You will see that in the New Testament. Because we cannot follow, Jesus Christ fulfilled it. And when he fulfilled it, he said, rather than looking at the law, look at me. Follow me. Because I've done it for you. Isn't that a great God? That's a great God. And that's something that we cannot miss. When God says, I have done it for you. Verse 12 and 13. God gave us life so we will no longer feel sinful. Did you know that whenever we think of sin, it can get us down two ways. It can get us down objectively and subjectively. Have you ever felt this when you've done something and you know you just ask forgiveness from it to God? You go so guilty and you go, I did it again, like Britney Spears. And sometimes don't you feel subjectively that you feel so dirty because you've done it again, and why can't I get away with it? You see, the problem is you're following the law. And Jesus Christ is saying, I've accomplished it for you. So rather than following the law, looking at your sin objectively and subjectively, look at the cross. That's the teaching of the New Testament. Jesus Christ did it for us. So look at him. That's why we call ourselves saved by grace. And this is something that we need to do. This is the exchange life that God is giving for those of you who are empty. God gave us life. You see, there should be power whenever you think of your baptism. May I ask, for those of you who has been baptized, can you raise your right hand? Have you been baptized? Thank you. You know why I ask? There is a symbolical strength of your baptism. Here it is. God giving you freedom to say no to sin and living life no longer fearful to sin and to death. You know how it is? The power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that covers you, that empowers you so that you can say no to sin and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let sin and death defeat you. It's not the end. For those of you who are still struggling, we need to understand that the symbolical strength of our baptism, you've received it. When you said, I'm dying to myself, and I'm now resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, the legal demands, we cannot keep the law. Jesus fulfilled all the law. We cannot follow it. And so now we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law. And when we cannot fulfill the law, we will look at Christ. Because when heaven looks down, he will look at the accomplishment of Jesus Christ in you. Because you and I, we always fail. And that's why we need to have a robust mentality. We need to be a strong and healthy Christian because our time is changing. And verse 15, it ends this way. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Here's a passage you need to read when you go home. Finally, be strong. It says finally because it's final. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm, be a robust Christian. I'm done. Want to pray with me? Father, in our time, there's a lot of changing things politically, climate, and there seems to be changes that doesn't seem to go to the moral standards of what we know. And sometimes it causes us to think, what's happening? This morning, allow us to be a robust Christian again, healthy and strong in saying, Jesus is still Lord. He is Lord of all. I may not know, I may not understand, but I will stand. I will stand and be firm in my faith. I will grow up. I will grow up. And I will live on the life that Jesus Christ has started in me. I will make a difference at home with my friends, with the little sphere of influence that I have in church. I will make a difference with one person because you've done it with 12 and it saved the whole world. And today, Father, we will say, help us to continue the work of what it is to be a robust Christian. We no longer want to be swaying to the left and to the right, confused. We want to be known as standing firm because Jesus is still Lord and he is the Lord of my life. The Lord bless you, people. The Lord strengthen your faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.